I'm Sunny Kane, and you're listening to the next faith-filled step right here on Pilgrim Radio. Each week, we'll explore simple, practical ways to respond to God's Word in our everyday lives. Let's choose wisdom over willpower, purpose over pressure, and take the next faith-filled step together. One day, one moment, one decision at a time. Well, welcome back to the next faith-filled step. I am so excited to hang out with you for just a bit of time today. I pray that our discussion today will be a blessing to your life, but more than that, that it might cause you to lean more into this amazing God that we serve. He is so faithful to us, and what an honor it is that we have been given another day. There is breath in our lungs, which means there is still purpose for our lives, and we have another opportunity to both know and love Him more than we did yesterday. You know, our goal on this program is always, as pilgrims on a journey, is to learn how to live our lives in response to what God is revealing in His Word. And that is not an act of perfection, right? We're never going to have it perfect because we are human beings. We serve a perfect God. And what we can do is simply take the next faith-filled step to whatever He is revealing in His Word. And the good news is we get to do it together. Well, I wanted to just today open up by just telling you a bit of my story. It's been coming to mind as I was praying about this week. And, you know, when I was a little girl, it was just me and my mom. And we would go to church on Sundays. And afterwards, we had this little tradition where we would go to McDonald's afterwards because ice cream cones were cheap. Back then, they were 29 cents. You could get one of those twist soft serve cones. We love to just get one of those ice cream cones, and I would play in the fun land of McDonald's while my mom would sit and read a book in one of the booths. And that was kind of a normal ritual until one Sunday, we had an encounter that radically altered our lives. You know how we have one moment in our life that we can look back on and go, whoa, everything changed from that moment. Well, this was one of those days. It was not like every other Sunday. I can go back, and a lot of times I wish this particular Sunday never happened. And yet, you know the difficult things that we walk through in our lives, while we don't ever want to repeat them, we can see in those moments the faithfulness of God and how it is the circumstance that we stood in that helped us to come to know God more. Well, that is what opened up on this day. This man came up to my mom while she was sitting at the table reading, and he began to tell her about Jesus. And I bet you're thinking, wow, you're probably imagining this story is going to go somewhere that we're actually, it's not the direction it's going. He began to tell her about Jesus, and she was drawn towards that. He began to talk to her about ministry, and I believe there is a God-shaped hole inside of each of us. And in that moment, it is that God-shaped hole that was drawn to this moment, to this ministry, this man who had such charisma. And that Sunday began a moment where she would then start stepping into a new friend circle. All of them would talk about Jesus, about serving God's purposes in this world. And my mom was all about that. You know, this young single mother on her own has a business that is failing and is struggling to make ends meet. She doesn't have support. And so the answer being Jesus, while he actually was the answer, Jesus was the answer. Ultimately, her heart had a longing for that, but it found itself in the midst of what became a massive mess. This actually led us to being in a cult. And now, it didn't start out like that, though, right? It didn't start out crazy. It started out spiritual, meaningful. And ultimately, I believe that my mother, along with so many of the people that fell for this, came in well-intentioned, where the enemy began to prey on that God-shaped hole in their heart. They came in to serve the Lord, but we know that the enemy prowls around like a lion seeking to devour, and devour did he. I need you to know these were very smart, sincere, God-loving people, but they were slowly led into believing something that was not true. What started out as a desire to serve people in ministry, and they did serve. They would go out to the streets. They would work with the homeless people. They would try to help people who were struggling to make ends meet, to have school supplies for their kids. There was ministry at play. But slowly over time, this group of people sat under the teaching of this man, and through means of isolation, through means of cutting themselves off eventually from their families because they didn't have time for their families because they were serving God, and because their new friend circle, each other, they didn't have time for their other friends. So there came a level of where there was isolation. Then they stayed up very late nights. Those very late nights led to sleep deprivation. That sleep deprivation moving into, then they would go into a fasting state, but it wasn't for the purpose of fasting. It was for a lack of nourishment. This guy had an agenda through all of this, because ultimately, when a mind is isolated and cut off from truth, when a mind is malnourished, when a mind gets to the place of sleep deprivation, that is a mind that is prey to the enemy. See, somewhere in the middle of all of this, he ended up shifting from a man who was serving, a man who had a ministry to serve God, and over time, this slow process led to it being to the place where he was saying that he was Jesus. And I know people all the time go, how do people fall for cults like this? I mean, how could you? And you need to understand these were very good people. People that it would surprise you could fall for something like this. Ask anybody who has fallen to some level of mind control. I mean, you can think of, when we think of cults, we think of big things like David Koresh in Waco, Texas. We think of the Moonies. We think of, you know, all of these big events. Usually people say to me, you grew up in a cult, and they go, were there chickens? And were there snakes? And did you have those kind of ceremonies? It wasn't like that. It was a group of people who wanted to serve God, who were praying. Upon, isolated, cut off. They were sleep deprived. They had somebody come in and brainwash them. You see, somewhere in the middle of all this, I learned that the mind can be shaped and formed and influenced and even taken captive slowly, subtly, and without people realizing it. But you know what? I also learned in a cult, I want you to hear me here. God's word will never return void, because I also learned in a cult about the faithfulness of God and that his word, it never returns void. Because here's the crazy thing. I used to go to an outside youth group, and I had this Bible that I would read regularly. And by the way, this man was using the word of God to convince people to see things that were not truth, right? He was using the word of God to bring the abuse and the deception. I mean, you talk about, I mean, the lack of fear of God there. Man, you know, God will have justice in that one. But when I go back to that story of the word of God will never return void, I had this Bible. And every time I opened it, whether I was going to the book of Genesis or whether I was going to the book of Revelation, for some reason that Bible would open up to Matthew chapter 24. And I would always read it. I would highlight it. I would circle it and underline it. And Matthew 24 in verses 5 and 11, you can check it out if you want. But this is where it talks about that many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. And that there would be false prophets who would rise up and appear. Not just one false prophet, there would be many. And I was being exposed to that scripture over and over and over. You think that was accidental? Or do you think that we might have a good God who saw the deception, who saw this enemy who was sneaking around like a lion seeking to devour, and he knew Sonny Cain, me, I was his child, and so he sent his truth into my life. There would be many false prophets. I learned that truth is protective, and truth sets us free. But also that truth was very comforting to me in a season of my life that was everything but comforting, because I was exposed to every kind of abuse you can imagine. And I spent a lot of years after that trying to heal from the trauma that I endured. But in all of it, that is how I have come to know God by name. That is the story of my life that has given me a passion for the truth of His Word, because I know when you get it wrong, it can go way wrong. And it is from these places in my life, this hardship, where I don't just know God's name, I know Him by name on a personal level, because He reached down from on high and He took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters of my life and He rescued me because He delights in me. That is the heart of our God and why I am passionate about serving Him. So that's a little bit about me, but I bring that to us today because while most of us did not grow up in a cult, you might not be able to relate to that. We all know seasons where it feels like our mind is in bondage. This is what I'm talking about. We have minds that are hijacked by fear and worry and insecurity and comparison. We have minds that are pulled by fear or stuck in old patterns, spinning in thoughts that we never really invited. We know what it's like to want peace and instead to live with noise, to want trust and instead live with control. And we know what it's like to have a mind that is longing for freedom, but instead we feel trapped inside of our own thinking. You see, a mind in bondage, it is not just a cult thing, right? And it is not just a personality thing. It's not just a mental health issue. It is a spiritual and practical issue. And Scripture actually speaks to it with surprising clarity. You see, my friend, we are called to steward our minds. But the problem is too often we let autopilot run our thinking, don't we? Now, I've heard it said that our minds are like silly putty. I remember when I came out of that cult all those years ago, my family that came in to rescue me, my aunt and my uncle, they ensured that I got hooked up with a counselor who knew about mind control, who knew about cult deprogramming. And we would talk a lot about silly putty. And so I am passionate about brain science. And you know why? I know that as Christians, sometimes we get a little bit nervous about brain science because so much of what we see in the world. But here is the truth. Anything science is figuring out about the brain, God's Word already told us. And that's some of what I want to talk about today. But our minds are a bit like silly putty. Now, I might be aging myself a bit, but if you ever played with silly putty, you know that you could take that silly putty and you could kind of stretch it out. And I would pick up the Sunday comics. I mean, now I'm still aging myself because now comics, I don't even know if they're still a thing because so many of us are getting our newspapers online. But we used to get newspapers delivered to our front door, and on Sundays, or was it Saturdays? I can't remember, but we would get comics, and they'd be like Garfield and Charlie Brown. So I would take the silly putty, and I would press it on the comic, and the silly putty would pick up whatever you put it on. Does that make sense? So you would look at the silly putty, and now the comic would be on the silly putty and not just the newspaper. Now, our minds, they are not so different. They absorb what we focus on. And it begs the question, what do you usually focus on? You see, silly putty is also flexible. It stretches. It's malleable. And your brain, it is not so different. Neuroplasticity is what they call it. It allows our brains to change and adapt. This is where God's Word already speaks to us. It says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I also love this. If you remember silly putty, you would kind of roll it up in a ball and you could throw it on the floor. Suddenly, it wasn't just silly putty. It was a bouncy ball, right? Silly putty would bounce. Our minds are like that too. Our minds can help us to bounce back or not. Now, silly putty also, maybe you remember this, you could kind of put it into the palm of your hand and you could stick your fingers in it, right? Forming an impression, just kind of pushing down in on it. And maybe you're like, I don't know what this silly putty is, but imagine a stress ball. You could like push that stress ball and it would create an indentation, this deep impression. Our brains are not so different. The reoccurring thought patterns that we have in our brains, they end up creating neural grooves and pathways. I want you to imagine those thought loops, those reoccurring thought patterns that we have. It's like us pressing in on silly putty. It is forming a groove inside of our brain. See, the mind is a lot like silly putty, inherently adaptable. And the way our minds are used and the inputs that they receive determine the kind of tool that they will become. Now, that's not good news or bad news. It's just true. And it means that we are far more responsible than we sometimes want to admit. We must steward our minds. Now, here's a few more things for us to consider in our conversation today. You know, Stanford once did a study on the brain. And they found that the average person has thousands of thoughts daily, anywhere between 6,000 and 70,000 thoughts. Now, this is insane to me, but I am one of those people that's on the higher end of that. I probably have 70,000 thoughts a day. I'm not just thinking about the present thing I'm doing. I am also running multiple thoughts in my head at the same time. I've got lots of tabs open. You know what I'm talking about? And I've had conversations with people. I was talking even to Spencer here, who works with me, about one time where he is able to think the thought that he's having. Like, it's just that thought. And I was like, what do you mean? There's just no other noise in there? Like, you're just thinking on, I could not even connect to it. So he's on the lower end of the spectrum. I'm on the higher end of the spectrum with all of these 70,000 thoughts swirling through my mind. So I felt very much affirmed and not alone, like I'm not crazy, when I heard that Stanford did this study that the average person has thoughts between 6,000 and 70,000. If that's you, maybe that's your quick moment of like, thank goodness, I'm not crazy. But then in this study, they realized that a significant majority of our thoughts, often cited as around 90 to 95% of them, that is a lot of our thoughts, they are repetitive and similar to the ones that we had the day before. And quick question here, what are your repetitive thoughts? What are you thinking on day after day after day? That thinking pattern that you fall into. These reoccurring thoughts are often involved in our worries or unresolved loops. And what they do is they form a backdrop to our days. And here's the crazy thing that I want you to hear. In this study, many of those thoughts were negative. And we're not just talking like, oh, some of our thoughts are negative. No, they found that 80% of those thoughts are often negative. I mean, this is crazy. Have you really thought about that for a moment? See, the problem isn't that we have thoughts. The problem is that many of us have never been taught to pay attention to them. Or maybe we know we should pay attention to them. We should challenge them. We've heard that we should take our thoughts captive and submit them to truth. But maybe we have yet to step into the active, faithful stewardship of those thoughts. You see, our minds can either be bound by lies or they can be built on truth. They can be a fortress of falsehood or a fountain of faith. I want to say that again. Our minds can either be bound by lies or built on truth, a fortress of falsehood or a fountain of faith. And the difference will be in how you choose to steward your mind. A lot of us are living from mental autopilot. We're running old scripts, old fears, old narratives. And then we're wondering why on earth we feel stuck. So many of us are not choosing our thoughts. We're just living from them in reaction to them as though we are victim to our thoughts. You are not a victim to your thoughts. You are not powerless to what comes into your mind. I know this from personal experience. Now, you might go, wait a minute, Sunny. Oftentimes I'm walking through my life and all of a sudden, a thought will come into my mind. I didn't choose it. It just found me. That makes you normal. But it's what you do after the thought lands that matters. You can play air traffic control in your mind. You don't have to let every thought that you have land. Every thought that you have be something that you chew on over and over and over. We can choose to steward our minds. So let's talk about what that means. How do we steward our minds? Scripture speaks to this with such clarity. Have you ever said, "What was I thinking?" What was I thinking? You see, we usually say this when we're looking in hindsight, in regret. What was I thinking? Or it's about those moments we feel like our brain went offline. What was I thinking? Well, to steward our minds, we need to be asking earlier, what will I choose to think about? Not what was I thinking, what will I choose to think about? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 tells us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Then Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us what to think about. It tells us what to focus on. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, we are to think on such things. Now that scripture goes on to tell us that a mind that is focused on these things with intentionality, a person who says, I'm stewarding my mind and I am choosing to think about whatever is true, noble, right, all of these praiseworthy things, then you know what happens in their life? The fruit of that kind of intentional thinking is peace. We see this also in Isaiah 26:3. A mind that is fixed on God is a mind that is filled with peace. And Romans chapter 8, verse 5 tells us that those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. This contrasts fleshly desires with spiritual focus. What will I choose to think about? What I'm asking you is to consider taking yourself from passive thinking into active commitment. And also, instead of finding ourselves in those what was I thinking kind of moments, we can also start asking, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? So this isn't just what will I choose to think about, but it's looking in each moment, what am I thinking about? Get curious in the moment. This is how we guard our minds, how we take them off autopilot and have some air traffic control. You don't have to let every thought land. What am I thinking? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. This is a process of us saying, is this thought true? Is it true? What are God's thoughts on this situation? For his thoughts are not our thoughts. They are higher than our thoughts. But we demolish the wrong thinking by asking ourselves, is it true? Is this the knowledge of God? Would God say what my mind is speaking? Is this true? What am I thinking? Is this what God is thinking? And then, in moments of anxiety, when worry is taking over, wait a minute, what am I thinking? Oh, well, that is an anxious thought. Hang on a minute. I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. I don't need to be anxious about anything because in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, I present my requests to God. I don't stew on the repetitive loop of worry anymore because I am stewarding my mind and I present right now through prayer my requests to God. And because of that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. How about moments of fear? In moments where there is fear, what am I thinking about? Well, if these are your thoughts, what if I say the wrong thing and they get upset? I really want them to like me, so I better not bring up that topic. If I don't help them with this, they'll think I'm a bad friend or coworker. What if they leave me? Everyone else seems to be on board, so I must be wrong for feeling differently. I can't believe I just said no to them. Now they probably hate me. I hope nobody notices this small mistake I made. What will they say? Will they reject me? What if they don't think I'm smart enough or good enough or spiritual enough? If I can just make them happy, then it will be okay. Everything will be okay. Well, here, see that fear of man, that people-pleasing that starts swimming in our minds? Oh boy, those thinking loops are a doozy, aren't they? And they feel like a prison. Because the crazy thing is, people can't be pleased. This is a side note. It's a free tip today, right? People can't be pleased. They are fickle. They change their minds. The Rolling Stones had it right when they said they can't get no satisfaction. Though they try and they try, they cannot be pleased because they're human and they are fickle. Proverbs 29:25 tells us the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but trusting in the Lord means safety. You see, our minds can either be bound by lies or built on truth, a fortress of falsehood or a fountain of faith. The difference is in how we steward it. And one final thing I want to mention when it comes to choosing what we will think about is this. Don't lose a grip on gratitude. Don't do it. Don't lose a grip on gratitude. Romans chapter 1, I encourage you to go read the whole chapter today. Romans chapter 1, this is a people who knew God. Listen to me. This is the same place I started at when I told you about people who fell for the deception of a cult. A people who knew God. Verse 21 says, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. It goes on to say, they became fools and they exchanged the glory of God for idols. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. You see that lack of gratitude. They did not give thanks to him. That lack of gratitude moved into ineffective thinking that led to idolatry. And ultimately, their minds became bound by lies. And I want you to listen to how that played out for them. It says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Those are kind of some pretty big consequences that all started out with a lack of gratitude. See, our thinking, it impacts our doing. What we think about, we often bring about, and we steer where we stare. What are you focusing on like that silly putty? We have got to keep a grip on gratitude and a firm hold on truth. And here's what's at stake. You see, it's not just our mood. It's not just about our mental health. It's our ability to hear God, to trust God, and to walk with clarity in the world. A mind that is bound by lies, it struggles to discern. A mind bound by lies is easily reactive. A mind bound by lies is often driven more by fear than by faith. And a mind bound by lies will regularly think, ugh, what was I thinking? But if we steward them well, if we take our thoughts off autopilot, a little more air traffic control for the people of God, can you imagine what our homes would feel like if anxiety was not the loudest voice? Can you imagine raising kids in an environment where fear didn't set the tone? Can you imagine if people were focused more on walking out God's purposes rather than pleasing people? Can you imagine marriages that were marked by grace instead of suspicion, compassion instead of criticism, and patience instead of self-protection? Oh, the church, our community would look so different if we weren't ruled by fear and offense and comparison and insecurity. We wouldn't be so easily divided or triggered or threatened. And imagine what would happen in the lives of individuals, of us. You see, insecurity loses its power when the mind is governed by truth. Anxiety doesn't dominate a mind that is anchored in who God is. So much of what we call emotional struggle is mental captivity. Can you imagine if we, as a people chosen by God, a people sent as His representatives, His hands and feet in this world, if we as pilgrims on this journey committed to stewarding our minds? You see, these things would not be unrealistic. They would simply be the overflow of what a faithful mind produces. When the mind is no longer bound by lies, but instead is built on truth, it breaks down the fortress of falsehood and it becomes a fountain of faith. And that overflows. It's always flowing, transforming hardship into beauty. It produces peace, joy, and wisdom. It produces a love that blesses others and provides life-giving goodness to the world. So, my friend, let's steward our minds well. So what is the next faith-filled step for you? Do you need to slow down and begin to ask, what will I choose to think about? Do you need to shift your thinking on something? Do you need to get more acquainted with God's thoughts by spending time in His Word? Are there some repetitive thoughts you need to take captive? Do you need to trust in the Lord and release your fear of man? We are pilgrims on a journey. May we not conform to the patterns of the world, but rather, let's be transformed by the intentional renewing and stewarding of our minds. I'll see you again next week. Well, thanks for listening to the next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. This week, look for one way to respond to what God is revealing in your life. One day, one moment, one decision at a time.